The title of our message tonight is, Do You Have a Good Lawyer? Do you have a good lawyer? 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, that's what I like, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight that we can come here. We pray, Lord, that you'd please help us to understand your word, to get comfort. Lord, you said your word is a comfort, and it convicts us at the same time. And we pray, Lord, that you would convict us of sin and comfort us with your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would do that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have a good lawyer? Or we should say, we got a good lawyer. And this verse, as I was reading in my devotion this week, I said, I want to share this to my people. I found comfort in this one, in this verse. That the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I want you to know this, so you don't fall into them. So you don't go over the boundary that God has set for you, because that was sin, is going over the boundary. So I'm reminding you of all of these things. So that's the chapter 1. I write this thing unto you so you don't sin. But he goes on the next one. And if any man sin, you know what that is? That's grace. Amen? That is grace. Aren't you glad that our God is a God of grace? He is not a God who, oh, you made a mistake. Oh, you failed. That's it, brother. Go home. We're taking you home now. No, he's not that kind of a God. But he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? How many among us have committed sin, whether small, big, have failed, have, you know, did something against God that we know it's right, we know it's wrong? How many? All of us, right? How many of us, you would say, whenever I do that, I felt so terrible. Like I feel disgusted about myself. I feel so discouraged about myself. And I feel failure. A failure. How many? Lots of us, right? But I want to tell you, my friend, this verse is for you. This verse is a verse that comforts us and reminds us who we have, who we are, and who we have. I would like to give you three things. First one is the relationship of the apostle. Let's go on verse 1 in our text. He says, my little children. Think about that. John is writing to his people and he said, my little children. Before we would go on that, I would like us to know who is this John. There are lots of Johns in the Bible. And who is this John? Well, this John is the same person who wrote the book of John. Okay, the Gospel of John. And the same person who wrote the book of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and the book of Revelation, John. He's the son, one of the son of Zebedee. His brother was James. And they were both called at the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen and they were fishing when Jesus passed by and called them and he said, I will make you fishers of men. And these brothers actually If you go on Mark chapter 3, verse 17, they have another name. Mark 3, verse 17. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, James and John, and he surnamed them Boanerges, Boanerges, which is sons of thunder. That was their name. Sons of thunder. Think about that. Sons of thunder. That means these brothers probably have a voice, you know, a big voice, you know, that when they speak, you know, you can imagine. They were called to even the sons of thunder. And at one time, you know, they were with Jesus. And they were so upset because people does not believe in Christ. They don't want to believe in Christ. And so these two brothers, they said, Jesus, shall we now pray that God will send a storm, a thunder through these people and kill these people? That's the kind of preachers they were. They were sons of thunder. They were so emotional. And probably in modern day, we would say, you know, a hellfire preacher, right? And but this same person, he has another name. He's called the beloved disciple, the one who leans upon Jesus, the beloved disciple. Let's go to John chapter 19. Very interesting character. John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, this was Jesus on the cross, when Jesus saw Mary and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own. So this is John the Beloved. John the Beloved, that's his nickname. And when Jesus was on the cross, he asked John, his disciple, to take care of Mary. Think about that. John, sons of thunder, but John the Beloved, a loving disciple. In fact, I would call him the disciple of love. 1 John chapter 4, you go 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, you would say, he says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. I would say this man has a strong emphasis on love. And yet he was called the sons of thunder. Very interesting character, right? What I would like you to see is this. He calls his people my little children. I think what he was trying to say is he was the pastor. He was the preacher of his people. And he looked at his people and he looked at them as his little children. He cares for them. He cares for them. He calls them his children. And you know what we need today? We need a man like John. We need a man like John. And praise the Lord, we have in our church a man like John. I would say our pastor is like that. Amen? He look at his people, and he look at his office, and he look at what he does, not just for money, not just for the name, not just for the office, but he look at them in a personal way, in a relationship, in a closer way. You know, the Bible called, Jesus mentioned at one time there's a shepherd and there's a hireling. And sad to say that many churches today, many places today, they don't have that kind of a man like John, who looks at his people and takes care of them as his little children. Praise the Lord, we have one in our church. And we're so privileged. And you know what we need to do? We need to bring back the love that they invest to us. We need to do the same thing. You know what we need to do? We need to look at them as their as our father as well. In a way, as our spiritual father. We need to build that kind of a relationship, a father and son relationship. He loves you, and you love him. And that's the way it's supposed to be, right? You know, the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Amen? The Bible says to honor the elders, honor your leader, the pastor. John and his people, he looks at them as his little children. In the same way, his people respect him and give him the honor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go with 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom I'm also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Verse 2. "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." The Bible says that the pastor, the preacher, the leader, he's the one who feeds the flock. He feeds them by how? By the word of God. By the word of God, God gives them the message. They would spend time studying. A sermon, a proper sermon is you have to spend 48 hours to form a sermon. I don't say that that's all, I always do that, but that's what they said, 48 hours of labor, thinking. You know, sometimes the whole week was consumed of the preacher, was consumed of him thinking about the message for Sunday, just to feed the flock. What I'm talking about is a responsible shepherd. But at the same time, he said in verse number 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You're not supposed to be lord over them, but a steward, a shepherd. And so John, he said, "My little children, these things write I unto thee." Do you pray for your pastor like you're supposed to be? Do you love them? Do you respect them like you're supposed to be? I think if we do that with our pastor, I think if every Christian would do that with their leaders, doesn't matter if they're the pastor or whoever, I think churches would be okay. Amen? If we would do that. Pray for them. Love them. And talk to them. The relationship of the apostle. Number two, what I would like you to see, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. Is the reminder of the apostle. And he said, 1 John chapter 2, My little children, these things, what are those things? Those are the chapter 1. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. So what are those things? Let's go back in chapter 1. Well, of course, he wrote there the fellowship of the believers. Okay, he's encouraging us to have fellowship with the believers. How do we do that? Church. How do we do that? Whenever we have assembling of ourselves, whenever we gather together, we come and fellowship with believers. And that's very important, the fellowship. And then he also talks about the Christian walk in verse 6 and 7. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What he was trying to say, if we say we are a Christian and we have fellowship with God, but at the same time we say that, but we walk in darkness, we're lying. That's a hard truth, hey? That's really hard. You say you are a Christian and yet you do this, you walk in darkness, you're lying. Wow. That's not me, that's him. So he was telling us in how to walk. And he said, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, what is that? That doesn't mean light like this. That means walking in the light of the word. We follow the word of God. We follow the right way of living. We walk in the light. He said, but if we walk in the light as God, as he is in the light, when we walk in the light, God is in the light, we are with him, he is with us, then we have fellowship one with another. Our fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ and his son cleanses us from all our sin. So he was teaching us about the fellowship, about the Christian walk. And in verse 8 and verse 10, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And it's true. If you say that, oh yeah, I'm good. I don't go to church, but you know, I think I'm a good person. I don't need a savior. I think I'm religious enough, and I don't need a savior. I don't need to be saved. And I don't think I have committed sin. Well, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What he is saying is instead of denying our sin, what we're supposed to do is confess our sin and he'll forgive us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So he was teaching them those things. He was writing them those things. Walk in light. Repent of your sin. Accept that you're a sinner. Don't say that you don't have a sin. And then in verse 2, remember before there's no verse, chapter and verses, right? They just put those numbers. This is a whole letter, okay? They're all one letter. And in verse chapter 2, he said, my little children, I write these things to you so you don't sin. That's what's happening. I'm telling you these things so you don't sin. He was giving them a reminder. And lastly, I would like you to look at the reassurance of the apostle. What he said, I'm writing this to you so you don't sin. But if any man sin. Brother and sisters, you know, we have the Bible for us to live the way God wants us to be. The Bible is God's word so that we can know how to live our life and we can know how life would work for us. Yeah. If you want to live your life without the Bible, life is not going to work for you. Because life is from God and the Bible is the instruction on how to live your life. You try to live your life without the instruction, you're going to run into trouble. And when you run into trouble, you check the instruction. Sometimes it's too late, right? You already plug it into 220. It was 110. It was too late. So you better check the manual. The Bible is the Word of God, not to burden us, but to guide us. And so what he's saying is, but you know what? If any man sin, I know we have written all of this in this word, and I'd like you to hear that so you don't sin. But for some of us, many of us, including myself, it was too late. He said, if any man sin, if you fail, if you know you're not supposed to do that, but for some reason you did that, you have done it. He said, if any man sin, look, if any man sin, we have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? The same word, paraclete, is translated here as advocate. But in John chapter 14, verse 16, let's go in that one, it's the same Greek word, John 14, let's look. Same Greek word, but a different translation in English. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know this, the word advocate? That's the same word that was translated comforter. To give you comfort. Comfort you. If any man sin, we have a comforter. We have a comforter, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have a lawyer. We have an advocate. You know, an advocate means one that pleads for a cause of another. Advocate. One who speaks for somebody else. What he was trying to say is, if you sin, I have written it to you. You know what's right and what's wrong, but for some reason you have done it. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we saw the comfort, the comforter. Let's look at who is that? Well, he said it's the Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's Christ the righteous. Why? Why is Jesus? What was his credential? What did he do? Is he a good lawyer? Can he do it? Well, verse 2 it says, well, Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You talk about Jesus, who he is, no better place than John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 he says, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus Christ, that was in the beginning, that was with the Father, and that was God. Who is he? Is he a good lawyer? Is he a good advocate? Is he a good... Can he do it? Can he plead for me? Yes, he can. You know what this person did? The Bible says he was from everlasting. He was with God. And at one point in history, he was chosen to die for us. So he became a man. The reason why he became a man is so that he can die for us. Because if he can't, if he is not a man, if he remains as God, he can't die for us. God doesn't die. God cannot die. So he has to be a man so he can die for you and for me. And so he died, and after he died, 3 days after he died, he rose again. This man, who is God, who is from everlasting, he rose again, and he went back up to God. And the Bible says he was sitting on the right hand of God, pleading for you and for me. Whenever a Christian sins and whenever a Christian fails, Jesus said, Father, he is covered with my blood. Whenever you feel discouraged, whenever you feel terrible about yourself, about you're so discouraged and disgusted about yourself, you want to quit. You know, how come I did that? How come I did that? I sin against my Father. And then Jesus stands and he said, Father, he is covered with my blood. He is covered with my blood. Forgiven. He is forgiven. And he is cleansed. Do you have that lawyer? Do you have him? Do you have him in your heart? What a nice thing to hear, hey? There's a lawyer up in heaven pleading to God the Father for people. Am I included in those people? Well, you better ask yourself. You better ask yourself. But if you're a Christian, I want to let you know, I write these things to you so you don't sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is not a license to sin, friends, but this is a comfort for us to go forward, to move on, to keep going, to serve God more, and serve Him with clean hand every day. We don't have to live in a life of guilt. You know, you don't have to live in a life of guilt. It's like every day you work, your hands get dirty, but you don't have to go to your bed with dirt in your hand, right? You can go to the shower and clean it. You can go to the shower and have your whole body clean. You don't have to go to your bed and sleep stinky and dirty with all the garbage of the whole day. You know what you can do? You can confess your sin. You can confess your sin and ask God for forgiveness, and He will forgive you. And so when you go to your bed and you sleep that night, you feel fresh. You wake up in the morning as if you did not work the day before. Amen? Friends, Pastor John said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if you sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, my friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ, I tell you what, if you sin, it's the fruit of you being a sinner. And when you sin and when you finish your life on earth, there's not going to be an advocate for you. Nobody, you would look, where is that lawyer? Where is that lawyer? I thought he's going to be pleading for me. But you never called on him. You never did settled on him. Never call on him for salvation. You thought you were good enough and you don't need him. You look and look and look. You can't find him. But you find a devil and he's coming for you. And he has the authority because you're a sinner. And he got the authority and he can take you and he will take you. But if you come and call on Jesus tonight, you don't have to worry about death and the devil. You will have an advocate. You'll have a good lawyer. Let's go before we end. Romans chapter 8. This would be our last verse. Romans 8. 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow, Lord. Thank you for tonight, for comfort tonight, for Christians. It's really comforting to know that Jesus is there pleading for our cause, pleading for us, and forgiving us, that if we confess, we have to confess our sin. If we confess, we don't have to live in a life of guilt. We can live in a life free from sin. And that's what you want us to be. Not to look in ourselves and get discouraged, but to look up to you. And that you would forgive us. If anybody who is not a believer, who hasn't come to Christ yet, well, we know that you can't plead for them because they were not covered by your blood. They have to come to you and get covered by your blood through believing and faith in Jesus Christ. And so they can get saved. We thank you, Lord, for this comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.